Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now our business review panel are here. They're going to tell us all about the business stories that feature online and indeed around the newspapers this morning. I'm delighted to welcome Ciara McDonough, a former colleague here at the station of Healy Communications, and Declan Ralph, also a former colleague of PWG Foods. You're welcome, one and all. And Ciara, we'll start with you. It's all about fuel. The government to slash excise duty by up to a quarter, we're told, to help ease this crisis in page six of today's Independent.
Page six of the Independent, that's right. Senna Maloney has a story there, Bobby. Government to slash excise duty by up to a quarter. So basically, it looks like all eyes will be on the Dáil on Tuesday. They're going to bring some immediate reliefs through the passing of a financial resolution that will change how excise rates are governed. So they're likely to cut excise duty, which will result in a reduction of nearly 33% per litre of fuel, but only for a month. It's a time-limited move that will take effect immediately, which is wonderful, but it would have to expire before the end of next month, and the relief would be dependent on developments elsewhere. So
yeah,
it's something. It'll be immediate, which is great, and it's what a lot of people will be looking for. It's almost like we'll do this now, we'll see how it goes, and then we'll approach it later on in the month. We have to monitor how things happen.
Yeah.
Declan,
Simon Harris is talking about a trident approach, obviously.
In a great soundbite, Simon.
The power of three.
Yeah.
Basically, he's talking about pump price reduction approach, then fuel allowance, probably increasing that to the most vulnerable. And thirdly, then, hauliers, there all appears to have been a deal already done with them, listening to their spokesperson, the chairman, talking there over the last couple of days.
Indeed, Bobby. Yeah, Ger Hyland from the Irish Road Haulers Association seems, he said he's absolutely confident that the supports delivered by the government will be sufficient. So they've gone from threatening to block every road in the country to being very happy with what's coming. So that's good for them. I think as Ciara has said, it will be temporary. It will be reviewed and kept under review in line with what's going to happen over in the Middle East, obviously.
Interesting as well that the government took an estimated $764 million in taxes on petrol last year, and then 2.5 times more than on diesel, which brought in nearly 2 billion euros.
Yeah.
Like, they're big numbers.
Big, big numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, 4.1 billion in taxes in total in 2024. So it's a big number. There's also, of course, the carbon tax increase that's due in May.
Which apparently is going ahead.
Yeah.
But we'll see about that.
See how that goes. Yeah.
One thing, I don't know if it caught your eye, but in the article in the next page, the price of fuel soars close to 2.30 a litre. If you look, they quote various garages around the country. So Circle K in Hartstown was 2.28 for diesel and petrol at 1.99. And Circle K in Ballina, same business, or at least same brand, was 2.15 for diesel and 1.94. So like 5 cents there. In the difference on petrol.
Can be the difference between company-owned sites and dealer-owned sites, not to get too complicated.
The punter doesn't care, though.
No, they don't. It's the same brand, and it can be the difference, though, you know, different ownership structure.
Yeah,
I've been driving around the east of the country quite a bit over the last few days, and you're approaching petrol stations around the country. You're almost trying to creep up on them to try and catch them when the prices are a little bit lower, because you're watching the board constantly to see will I stop here? Will I chance going on to the next one? You know, my dad always told me not to allow my car to get in the red. It was a terrifying prospect. But like, these are the decisions people are going to be making now. Where are they going to get the petrol? How long can they go in between fills? Are they just going to grab a quick tenner of petrol, and how far is that going to last them? It's going to be the situation for some time to come. Like, there's no end in sight in this kind of situation.
Yeah, it's interesting, is it not, that, you know, I certainly used to stop To fill up on the basis of what coffee was there. Yeah. Now you have to kind of look at the pump prices.
That's
say,
for different reasons.
Yeah, I know. So it's no longer. But there's an interesting text in. Bobby, really feeling the petrol prices. I put 35 quid into the car last night and it felt like it was half of that. Something needs to be done. That comes in from Charlie. Thanks for the text, Charlie. Keep them coming. Now, I suppose in a related story from the Financial Times, no less. Yes, the paper of note here that we're getting our stories from this morning. Airlines suffer 53 billion blow as industry faces its biggest crisis since the pandemic. Big stuff here, Declan.
Yeah, again, big numbers, Bobby. Yeah, 53 billion in market value since the war began a couple of weeks ago. 20 of the largest publicly listed airlines have lost that value.
Whoa,
in that
53
time.
Billion.
A lot of money.
Over a few weeks.
Over a couple of weeks. Yeah. So a lot of equity gone there. Again, you know, as we're gone into the fourth week now, all the airports in the Middle East really not working at all or very little in most cases. It seems to be more the long-haul airlines as well. So you know, Emirates, Etihad, and so on.
Well, they're all based.
They're all based in that area too.
Yeah.
So
and you know, the fact all the flights to Australia and the related ones.
Yeah.
Like it's when you think about it.
Like so many Irish people are well used now to transiting through places like Abu Dhabi and Dubai. They take nothing of passing through having their two-hour turnaround in Dubai airport and travelling on then. It's making a massive impact. And as you said, Bobby, it is mostly the biggest losses are happening for the companies that are based in that area. But, I mean, they're facing the three repercussions: the prolonged increase in oil prices, disruption to the main airports in the Gulf, the hubs that they have there, and the potential to hit to global demand. I mean, that's an awful lot of factors to be facing into.
I think one of the key things to note from this article is that fuel represents one third of all airline costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can just imagine if there's any, you know, if fuel goes up, you can be
absolutely
damn sure that it's going to find its way to the ticket price.
A number of the companies, though, would have hedged their fuel price, Bobby, as well. There's no doubt for...
Yeah, but it will come eventually.
But it does come back at some point. Yeah, eventually.
Also interesting to see the short trading then on Wizz Air. And, you know, so people are the stock market is actually gambling on... You know,
it's so grim.
Yeah, they're shorting. The most shorted company on the FTSE 100 was Wizz Air.
Mm-hmm.
And EasyJet has also been targeted. So that tells you, I don't know, watch this space, I'd suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to the next story about staycations, which is basically because it's interesting because it's related to this, I suppose. Global conflict and rising costs are driving Irish holidaymakers back to the staycation. I see CSO figures, Declan, earlier in the week showing international travel grew by 11% last year and domestic trips fell by 8%. But I think there seems to be kind of renewed optimism within the hotel and B&B sector and people who would benefit from staycations that this international crisis is going to keep people at home.
It'll certainly keep them at home, probably keep them in Europe as well, rather than long haul. So maybe we'd be swapping Dubai for Doombeg, or maybe Sydney for the Spanish Arch, as Darren Nolan says in the piece in the Irish Independent. There's a couple of hoteliers quoted in the piece as well. Bobby, Caroline Murray, director manager of the Shandon Hotel in Spa, County Donegal, said bookings are up 5% on this time last year and inquiries and price queries are up 16%. And there's also the Cork hotelier Michael Magner, who said bookings at his Vienna Woods Hotel in Glanmire have held steady as well. He says as well he thinks there's a bit of a hold and see perspective at the moment. People are saying, look, maybe I'll hang on for a bit. But you do have to plan ahead for holidays. You know, people need to be certain about what they're going to do. And the Travel Agents Association as well have also said that Italy, France, Spain, Portugal will probably be some of the winners in this conflict as well.
Yeah, I think it might be too early to call this. I just think, if fuel prices keep escalating, if international flights, you know, skyrocket for whatever, for the reasons we discussed.
Yeah, I think
you might find that people might be changing their plans.
I think that could be it. And I think there's a certain hold and see approach, definitely, because I think when Declan mentioned Carolyn Murray there from the Shandon Hotel and Spa in Donegal, said the price queries are up 16% year on year, which I think is interesting. People are doing their shopping around. They're more cost conscious. I mean, Ireland has had a bashing for the last few years about not being good value for money. So maybe people were looking abroad already, but now they're looking at the prices more closely. 16% jump on price queries, I think, is interesting. They're shopping around, they're looking for the value, and they may, you know, some people will say, I'll wait till last minute and get a yeah. last minute deal kind of thing as well. So, as a member of, which group is it? Michael Magner from the beautiful Vienna Woods in Cork. He's saying that once St. Patrick's Day has come and gone, that's the bell ringing for the start of the season. Yeah. So it's
okay. Well, we keep an eye on the space. Declan, we're the poster boys of Europe when it comes to our financial status. S&P upgrades Ireland within a notch of AAA for the first time since 2009. I was trying to think back. Surely we weren't gilt-edged in 2009. Were they not the dark days?
That was probably just the start of the dark days. Yeah. Say maybe late 2008 into 2009. We were probably at that sort of level. Yeah, this is the long-term one. There's a lot of A's and triple A's and double A's and an awful lot of things there. But they've also moved the outlook from stable to stable from positive, which is now the highest rating on Ireland of any of the leading credit agencies, because there's a number of agencies in this area, Bobby. So, but with the other agencies, there's Fitch and Morningstar, there's also Moody's obviously. But we're moving up the ranking with all of these. And even the short-term credit, that's the longer-term view, is the AA plus from AA. The short-term as well has improved. So it's good news. I think it shows that the management of the companies or the country's finances is being good.
Yeah. Kira, you'll remember from your news reporting days the status of BBB plus, which we used to be, which was three steps above junk.
That's exactly.
Now, that isn't so long ago.
Well, I thought this morning, is like, is it really that long ago? Like somebody said the other day that the kids who are turning 18 now were born at the start of the crash. It's really scary. But yeah, and do you remember how, you know, you would have already been an expert in this area, Bobby, but we all had to have a crash course very quickly in what a ratings agency was and what ratings meant and all that kind of thing and the impact that it would have. Haven't heard of it so much since then, but, you know, it's a small comfort in many ways. But look, at least it's some positive sign about the situation that we're in at the moment, going into so much uncertainty over the past 3-4 weeks and how much it's going to be continuing for the time.
Well, and certainly if we benchmark ourselves against our European colleagues, were doing particularly well.
Doing very well.
Yeah.
Moody's did have us at junk, by the way, in the good old days of 2011.
Not three steps above it. That's me just trying to be an optimist. Now, I don't know if we're going to see Dublin's transformation on the cycling front. And Naomi O'Leary has an interesting piece in today's Times. Recreating my old bike commute shows how Paris beat the car. And this relates to the outgoing mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo. And basically, she vowed to make Paris the world capital of cycling. And there's kind of a review as to what her legacy is, whether she's done that or not. But it is an interesting piece, Declan, and it does show that there has to be major pain before there's gain.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece because she recreates the journey, as you said, that she used to take when she was there in 2009, Naomi O'Leary, and also talks to a couple of people along the way. So the interesting thing is it seems to be sort of a generational view here, difference of opinion. She met Pierre Tissot, who's an 80-year-old. He had travelled in to Paris from his home in Saint-Denis. I'll try and do my little bit of French, Bobby, from my leaving days. Bonjour, Bobby. Yeah. And household car ownership rates are down 34%, down and falling. And he's not that happy because it's very hard for him now to get into Paris. And
so that's one in three people in Paris only has a car.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it. Because I don't know what the stat in Dublin is, but I'd suggest it's well higher than that.
Way, way higher, I would guess.
Definitely.
Also, so he's very upset. He can't say anything good about Hidalgo, he says. whereas there was the 26-year-old Julian Boissy. He's a resident of the second arrondissement, and he was reading a book in a nearby park, and he thinks it's all brilliant.
Well, I see that just by way of the city now has 1,678 kilometres of bike-friendly routes. It's an increase from 700 kilometres back in 2013, so it's more than doubled, almost trebled.
Yeah. Some of her, so the mayor, she's coming to the end of her stint, and the candidates that are coming in now, some are positive towards what she's done and will say they will continue it, but others are not so positive, and they're maybe going to have a reach out to the car drivers and owners to help them out a little bit.
I think they seem to have their problems in Paris as well with accommodation affordability.
Yeah,
she's referencing here the cost of buying anything in Paris is up over 70%.
Yeah,
70% in 17 years. I'd suggest we're probably higher than that again.
Well, that's, and as Naomi says, the cost of living is at the core of many Parisian complaints, which obviously is so relevant now as they're heading into their mayoral election tomorrow. While the city may be more livable now, so more pleasant, more nice to be there, fewer can afford to enjoy it. So it's about finding the balance there, isn't it? I mean, one of the other people that Naomi speaks to in the piece says said that it's great, the changes on the changes around pedestrianisation and the cycle lanes. It's great for the environment. It's nice for pedestrians, but it's a big city that's hard to get around. Not everyone can take public transport. You know, there's a certain amount of the woman want, you know, she came in with a mission. She's obviously achieved an awful lot of that mission and things have been changing. A nice one there actually is that they have incorporated electric bikes into the bike rental scheme as well. So, you know, people who may not be so used to pedaling around the cobblestones.
Yeah, like myself, and I thought that €10 for a 24-hour electric bike pass is really good value.
It's fantastic, yeah. You're zipping around in
there
safety.
You go. Now, I don't know if there's any snorers in the room, but snoring is tearing marriages apart. Our separate bedrooms, the key to harmony. Aideen O'Connell, very stoic piece here. And she really, she said, her lovely late mother sounded like a Concorde. My father sounded like a fighter jet. And both fought for airspace at night. Thought it was a lovely turn of phrase.
Yeah, I think I'm in the fighter jet space myself, Bobby, to be honest with you.
So bring us through this, Declan, if you would.
Really what Aideen is asking here is, do we think that snoring calls for divorce? And there was a poll published earlier in the week that said 47% of divorcees in Britain said their partner's nighttime sleeping habits contributed to their breakup. Now, later in the piece, there's, you know, talking about more modern relationships. People sleep in separate bedrooms, so to avoid this.
And one of the reasons that she suggests is because people are getting cohabiting much later.
Much later, yeah. So they've got set in their ways. They like to kick out or whatever they like to do. So it's more difficult. And also it's interesting that maybe it's not just the snoring, but the snoring deprives people of sleep. And therefore, they're cranky, and you know that leads to other conflict, maybe about other things. And that, you know, it's the lack of sleep that maybe causes the issues to arise, as opposed to directly the snoring. But it is, it says at the end of the piece, she said, "Romance is lovely, but so is getting a full 8 hours uninterrupted sleep."
Yeah, what did you make of this, Kira?
I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, people may be cohabiting later in life, but they're still cohabiting generally to you know, I'd say most people these days cohabit before they decide to actually tie the knot and get married. So they would have been aware of the snoring if it was an issue before. Yeah. Is it just that as time goes on, the snoring becomes, you know, symbolic, Bobby, of other issues in the relationship? So I think it's
there you go.
Although it may be a contributing issue, I if I was a therapist, I'd say, what's really going on here? It's not about that.
My trick, Bobby, is let my wife go to bed before me. Then she's asleep. She's a sound sleeper. Then I can snore away.
And even your snoring doesn't wake her up.
No.
Now, the Amazon smartphone, planned to rival Apple and Samsung. I think we had this before in 2014, Declan.
Yeah.
And it was gone within a year.
It was gone, yeah. It was called the Fire Phone. Yeah. And it was overseen directly by Jeff Bezos himself. Scrapped, as you say, within the year. Now they're looking at a new phone that they have internally named as the Transformer. Of course, it's being developed with all the Amazon services in mind, so it'll be easy to access Amazon.com, Prime Video, Prime Music, and so on.
So you can buy stuff on Temu from your phone.
Much, much easier. It also is interesting, there's a reference to Star Trek in this as well, where it's the initiative is the latest chapter in years-long effort to bring to the market by Bezos a long-held vision of a ubiquitous voice-driven computing assistant akin to the voice-controlled computer in Star Trek.
So there you go.
There you go.
Bobby, I've got the marketing slogan. It's Transformers, smartphones in disguise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think this, I'd be suspicious of the motives behind this. Yeah. And I think many a consumer, you know, it's easy enough to go crazy shopping online without having to get a phone that's going to make it,
apparently,
encourage it further.
Apparently, Bobby, there's a wealth of data only available through mobile phones.
Of course there is. That's
so therefore, that's why they want to get into this business. Yeah.
Okay. Kira, I don't know how handy you are on DIY.
I love that you're coming to me first on this one.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
DIY SOS.
Yeah.
One in four of us can't fix anything in our house. And like, you know, people not being able to change, like it's nearly a quarter of people can't change a light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sad.
Do you think it's sad?
I absolutely
really
do.
Like, I refuse to be shamed about this. I went through the list. There are 11, out of 11 of the pieces that I went through, I have 5 pieces that I can do and 6 pieces that I can't. But also, I don't have radiators in my house. I'm in a very lucky situation where I have underfloor heating. I don't need to bleed a radiator. A lot of my lights are LEDs, so I don't need to replace a bulb. And I don't need to, okay, maybe I need to wire a plug, but the light has never gone out in my fridge. And they're talking about 22% of people who have never replaced the light in your fridge. They're talking about 24% of people who can't change a light bulb. They're talking about 20% of people who can't find the stopcock. Okay, I can't do that. But listen, a lot of these things are just becoming obsolete. People can't do DIY. You need new types of DIY. And also maybe it's giving you more time to live your life without DIY jobs.
Declan, do you know where the stopcock is?
I do. Yeah,
man,
under the sink.
Man, I'm
I'd be fairly handy. I can put up a shelf. I can wire a plug. To be honest, I'd be fairly handy. I'm going to out my brother here, Bobby.
Ger,
who you would know.
Yeah.
Ger is absolutely useless around the house. Every time
so he calls you.
No, he gets a man in. That's his phrase. So Ger gets a man in to do it. So if you can't do it yourself, get a man or a woman indeed in to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, good I think it's good. Like, I think DIY has changed because, like, technology can also be a curse now, that everything now is electronic or tied into your phone somehow. Or,
and there's rules and regulations. Like you can't touch electricity, really. I mean, you can wire a plug, but you need the expert gas. You know, you need the experts or you're in trouble.
Otherwise, you'll have to call Daniel O'Donnell. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for a great review of the news, the business news, and indeed a few other bits around the online and the newspapers this morning. Kira McDonough of Healy Communications. Good to see you again, Kira.
Thanks, Bobby.
And Declan Ralph, BWG Foods. Always good to talk.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr. Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.